We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, welcome to another day, another week of Exploring the Word. And, you know, we often, in teaching God's Word, Reverend Bert Harper and I, Alex McFarland, we often talk about what we call the inerrancy of Scripture and the authority of God's Word. In John 17:17, the Lord Jesus prayed this. He said, "Father, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Bible, God's Word. And so we're going to talk about God's Word. And Bert, I want to say it's great to be back live. I know I was traveling last week, and I know we had a couple of shows like Thursday and Friday that we were not live. But isn't it a privilege to be back live again as we get daily deeper into the Scriptures?
It is, Alex. And I'm just going to say, you told me I didn't have to bring it up, but you saying it's good to be live today. Now, where are you today, speaking of being live today?
Well, you know, I want to say this rejoicing. Literally 6 minutes ago, I was wrapping up a funeral service. It was my privilege to lead the memorial service for a beloved Christian brother. And I've done the show in airports. I've done the show, you know, I have the portable gear, many universities. But for the first time ever, I am in a funeral home. And they have graciously given me an office that I can set up. And so we're in Lynchburg, Virginia at Tharp Funeral Home. And I just did the service for Wallace Roach, a wonderful Christian brother. And Bert, let me just say this. You're a longtime minister, and I've been in the ministry and the pastorate. You know, it's never fun to say goodbye, but isn't it just a wonderful thing when we rejoice? And for a born-again believer, there is no goodbye. There's just, I'll see you soon, because there's a reunion day. And to do a funeral of someone you know is with the Lord, it's a joy, actually, isn't it?
It really is. Funerals can bring revivals in people's lives. And I'll just say enough, Brent Austin, our producer, God, just yesterday was a great day for him. And it occurred, Alex, at a funeral. God just gets a hold of people at certain times and does things in their life, and I praise the Lord. Listen, the reason we have funerals or memorial services because, man, we are important to God. Man has been made in the image of God, but to have the funeral service of a believer following in Christ, what a joy it is, and again, that's great. And so, Alex, I thank you for that. Something else I wanted to ask you about, and we're not talking reminiscing, but we are talking about what God's doing in this first segment. And I know you had your first summer youth camp last week, and it was up in Montana. Would you mind giving us a report?
Well, thank you, Bert. And I want to say a big thank you to everybody in the Exploring the Word audience. Everybody was praying for us. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit moved in a strong way. Bert, let me just say this. If heaven is much more beautiful than Montana, I just don't know if we can stand it.
Amen. I agree to that. Big sky country is beautiful country. Goodness. Yes, it is.
Yes. And we had about 140 people there. And, you know, the first couple of days, you know, we're talking about the Bible and talking about some apologetics, you know, like defending the Christian faith. But let me say this. By Wednesday of last week, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit began to move. And I just felt led to really share the gospel, what it means to have Jesus in your life. And one by one by one, kids began to come forward. And Bert, I'm telling you, it was a tangible move of God's Spirit. At least 32 teenagers prayed to accept Christ and be born again. More than 100 came to the altar to pray for America, to pray for their schools, to pray for their friends. And I want to tell you, we, with our biblical worldview, you know, we really challenge them to live full out for Jesus. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to throw it to you, but people say, what do you do at the youth camps? Well, you know, we do the ropes course and hiking and horseback riding and all that fun camp stuff. But Bert, I want to woke proof America's kids.
Amen.
And we said the Pledge of Allegiance and we salute the flag because look, yes, our home is in heaven, but till we get there, we are to be good citizens and we are to be a part of a church. We talk about building a family. And I just want to be on record, and I got to say this, Bert, we couldn't do it without Tim Wildman and the American Family Association. Tim Wildman allows me to promote and, you know, to tell what we're doing. And we, if we had to go out there and buy ads on radio and TV, we couldn't afford that. Our camps, every year, something like 1,200 teenagers are under the sound of the gospel, getting saved, being strengthened in their walk with the Lord, and that's because the American Family Association allows me to use this radio to talk about it. And so we're off to a bang-up start with Christian campers up in Montana.
Amen. Let me just tell you, that's part of what we do at AFA is to help the church in carrying out the Great Commission at home and in foreign countries. And that's what we do because of all we're doing on the internet, going to foreign countries, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ through the internet. It is taking place. And so, Alex, what you're doing is evangelistic. Listen to what AFR does. We do youth truth for Youth Week with Tim Todd going into the schools and sharing the Bible. The youth do that. We do what the Samaritan's Purse. With that, the disciples, you know, and also with Operation Christmas Child going to all the world. So AFR, missional in its purpose, so it goes along. Well, let me ask you this. I'm kind of interviewing you on this. Where's the next camp going to be?
Well, we're going to be in Temple, Georgia, and we've been down there for like 10 years, and that's June 23rd. Sunday the 23rd through Friday, what would that be, about the 28th? But yeah, we start the second of seven summer camps on Sunday, June 23rd. And so please keep us in prayer on
that
one.
Is it closed out or is it still got room? Or
as far as I know, it's packed.
Okay.
It's already packed.
There's a couple that came by from Texas, and they're bringing youth all the way from Texas to Temple, Georgia. And yeah. So we're hearing that, and so praise the Lord. Alex, and, well, let me go ahead. I got one or two. I'm going to interview myself here in a second.
Yeah.
Because I got something
the
I
Montana,
want to say.
Yeah. There was two churches from Gillette, Montana, and they had a vision. We had never done a camp in Montana, but they heard me on AFR like last year. And last year, they came and visited our camp in South Carolina, and they said, we got to get you guys up to Montana. And so, and we've already got dates for next year in Montana. But, Bert, the ripple effect of AFR, people getting saved, churches getting revived, Christians getting equipped, don't you rejoice in what God has put together in this wonderful collaborative ministry?
It is amazing, and matter of fact, those of you that can get the stand. Now, it's on internet, but also it's in journal form. It used to be the AFA Journal. It's now the stand, and it'll be coming out real soon, and you'd want to get that, and it'll tell you a little bit. Buddy Smith, our vice president, has retired from full time here. He still has two or three things he's in charge of, and we love to have him around. But the heritage and the history of AFR, AFA is awesome, and we continue from generation to generation. With that in mind, I want to read some scripture a little bit that I brought today that I want to share. It's in Psalm 127 and 128. I call them the legacy Psalms, Alex, and I think you can hear it when I read it. I'm going to read verse 3 through 5 in Psalm 127 first. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who is quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Well, Psalm 128 follows up that. Verse 3 says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around the table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And then it ends in verse 6, yes, may you see your children's children. Let me translate that, your grandchildren. And the reason I bring that up is a legacy. You're just talking about 32 youth being saved. Well, mm-hmm. one of our grandsons last, not this past Sunday, but Sunday before last, received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Or that week, I won't say it on Sunday. Sunday, he made it known. And praise the Lord, generation to generation. And that's what we're about. And I bring that up because, you know, last Friday, the 7th, Jan, my wife and I, celebrated 50 years of marriage.
Amen.
And praise God. And then on Saturday, we had the Harper family reunion. And I had my brother and two sisters that are living there and a bunch of nieces and nephews, one of my sons and two of our grandchildren, our daughter-in-law. And I could not help but think, this is a legacy. And AFR has that legacy. Don Wildman, Tim Wildman, his son. Now, his two sons, Walker and Wesley, and his daughter, Riley, they're all involved in the ministry. And it's not just because, okay, they're part of it. No, they're committed to it. So what we're wanting to do on Exploring the Word is share with you what Alex does at his camps. And it is this. He helps with your children and your grandchildren to be arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, Alex, that's what we want to do on Exploring the Word is get a lot of biblical equipped, biblical worldview warriors and going speaking to the people in the gate. That means where it's to be broadcast. That's where it's to be discussed. Politics in every area. That's what AFR and Exploring the Word, that biblical worldview passed from one generation to the next.
Amen. Well said, well said. And, you know, because the Bible is God's Word, we often get questions about this, you know, where did the Bible come from? Or how do we know that the Bible we have in English is accurate? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. And but we do give God the glory. And I just want to say this, too. We're going to send some photos from the camp, and we got some videos that Brent will post on Facebook. And we appreciate, you know, when you're traveling, when I'm traveling, sometimes when we're not live, aren't we blessed to have Brent and Richard and a crew that helps? Because there's a whole lot of wheels turning on the other side of the microphone, too, that makes Exploring the Word possible, isn't it?
It really is. And again, this ministry at AFR, during the summer, we have a lot of people that are guests, and they pass through, and you can, you know, go online, or you can call ahead, and you can arrange a tour, and you get to meet some people. Oh, that's what they look like, or something like that. You could meet Brent Austin and see the real deal behind the microphone here that keeps us going. So Alex, you're exactly right. You and I are blessed to be working with people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, what a joy it is. And people come here at AFR, and like Brent and others, they're saying, wow, I get to be a part of this, sharing the good news of Christ with a world that desperately needs it. Well, we're going to be back right after the break, and we're going to talk about the reliability of the scriptures that we have. They're reliable, they're truth, and you can depend on them. We'll be back with more right after this break. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life. Yeah.
when a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
He is right here where he's always been. He never left and he never will. Where is God? God is with us.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you today, and we hope that you're having a great Monday starting off this great week in June. Let me share some scripture with you. We're talking about scripture, reliability of the scripture. And listen to Psalm 119, verses 9, and then verse 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? The answer is by taking heed according to your word. In verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, here it is. How can you stay right with God? How can you get right with God? It is with an open, surrendered heart and looking at the Scriptures through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, you can find out real life, real life. And that real life is eternal life, which is not just talking about quantity. It is talking about quality. And eternal life does not begin at the point of death. Eternal life begins at the point of salvation when Jesus Christ becomes your Lord. How can we know that, Alex? It's through the Word of God, isn't it?
Amen. It is the Word of God. You know, Psalm 119, I love that psalm. It's a tribute to the Word of God. And by the way, I've shared this before, but, you know, Psalm 119, there's 176 verses, and there are 22 stanzas. They're called strophes, S-T-R-O-P-H-E. A strophe is like a stanza, and there's 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. Each stanza is named for a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You know, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, He, Vav. And the tradition says that pious Jewish families, as they were, you know, walking to Jerusalem, maybe to go to Passover or make a trip to Jerusalem, that from memory, many of these families would recite Psalm 119, which is a tribute to the Word of God. And Bert, there are several verses. I would just encourage people to read this. But look at verse 53. Psalm 119:53 says, "Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Verse 54. But look at 53. When is the last time we felt horrified because of those that reject God and His Word? You know, isn't that amazing? And of course, I love verse 93. "I will never forget thy words or thy precepts, for through them I found life." Bert, the Word of God is our source book. I mean, it's in the Word of God that we learn about Jesus, the Son of God. And I want to say this, and believe me, I could do a 32-hour semester course on this.
Amen.
Because I do a 32-hour long semester course on this. I've done it at Liberty University, Karis Bible College, Biola, a lot of schools. But here's the thing. You can trust your Bible, folks. I believe, and I believe the evidence is compelling, that God gave His Word. God has preserved His Word. The manuscripts, the archaeology, the history, I believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the absolute words of the Lord Jesus. That's the red ink, the red letter, if your Bible has Christ's words in red. Bert, I believe that the Bible is God's word. I believe it is infallible. There are no mistakes. I believe it is authoritative in every generation. And the wisest thing we could ever do as an individual person, believe what God's word says. We need to come back to the Bible, don't we?
We really do. And Psalm 119, you can just, anywhere, you open your Bible at Psalm 119, pick any verse, and I'll just tell you, you will be blessed. You do that everywhere, but Psalm 119 is especially, I would call it a masterpiece of literature, Alex, the way it is put together, the way it is organized. Let me share three verses from that. One is 105, and it's powerful. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you want direction in your life, you better spend time in the Word of God. And listen, He'll speak to you. He really does. If you go to the Word of God and you'll open the Word of God with a heart that is ready to receive the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will direct your paths. He's awakened me when I've had decisions to make. He's awakened me. I went to bed praying. I had read the Word of God, and He's awakened me at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd get up at 6 o'clock sometimes, and all of a sudden I would have in my heart and my mind, okay, I need to read a certain passage. And there was the answer. It's happened more than one time. Let me share this with you. God doesn't waste anything in your life. Those of you that are listening, the Word of God is that strong. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 67, and then verse 71. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Now, listen to that. Before I was afflicted, God disciplines us. Now, verse 71, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Listen, you need to be a student. And part of the student of the Word of God is letting the Word of God correct us, letting the things of God penetrate our heart and our lives to make us the people that can receive what He's sharing with us. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and we hear His voice and we can follow Him. And He speaks to me. He talks with me. I think there's a song about that in the garden, and He really does share that, Alex. And I get excited about knowing that the Scriptures is the Word of God, and He has something to say to me and my generation, my son's generation, and my grandchildren's generation. Isn't that exciting that you don't have to wait? No, we have the Word of God that's been given to us right now.
Amen, amen. Psalm 119, oh my goodness, how I love this chapter. Let me share something. You know, very often in the New Testament, we quote 1 Peter 3:15 that says, be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that you have. That's very similar to verse 42. Let me read 41 and 42. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So I shall have wherewith to answer him who reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. So if somebody were to say, oh, why are you a Christian? Oh, you know, church, who needs that? You know, you have an answer. Even here, Psalm 119:42, way back in the Old Testament, is really the concept of apologetics, being able to give an answer. Now, turn over there, if you will. I love verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Bert, I've said this a lot of times. I thought I knew what friends were, and then I got in the big family of God. And isn't it a blessing that as a Christian, I mean, you might meet a total stranger, but they're like a dear old friend because you both love Jesus. You both believe the Bible. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Verse 63. Look at verse 97, Bert. You were talking about waking up in the middle of the night and thinking about the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Bert, earlier today, I got to tell you this. Angie and I came up here. Angie's right here with me. And we drove to Lynchburg where I was going to do this funeral at 3, which we did. But we came by Liberty University where we, Angie and I grew up together, you might as well say. We were married just a couple of months, moved up here to go to Liberty. So we stopped in to see Elmer Towns, who's well into his 90s now. Does that name ring a bell,
oh, yeah,
Dr.
No,
Elmer
Towns? He helped Jerry Falwell found Liberty.
Liberty.
What a great
name.
He's
the last of the founders. But we were talking about meditating on God's word all day long. And Bert, like verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." I mean, don't you, and I know every Christian listening right now, you would concur, I'm sure. You wake up and you're thinking about Jesus. You go through the day and you're praying and thanking God or calling out for God's help. Maybe you think about precious, precious promises of God's word. And Bert, one of the things that I'm so thankful Tim Wildman had this vision now 15 years ago that there's a show dedicated to the Bible. And folks, let us just say, and Bert, I'll throw it back to you, but if you read the Bible every day and you say, like verse 18 says, "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your word," the Word of God will transform your life. It will stabilize emotions. It will help you overcome maybe fears or whatever. But like we were talking with Dr. Towns, I know you would concur, the role that the Bible plays in the life of the Christian is just so beneficial in just countless ways.
You know, when you just said that, this came to my mind. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, they asked him, he said, "What's more important, Bible reading or praying?" He said, "Well, I've got a question to ask you. What's more important, breathing in or breathing out?" Huh. And the Word of God is that powerful and that strong. Listen, after you read that in verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day." Listen to verse 99 and 100 with that. "Because it is my meditation, because I'm dwelling on it, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation." Listen, it will make you wise. And this is not bragging. It's, in other words, it's increasing. You've learned what the teachers have taught you, and now God has added even more. And this is the wisdom of God. Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." Now listen, it's not just knowing. It's not just reading. And I can say it's just not meditating. It is keeping your precepts, obedience to the Lord, following him. And that's why it's important for us to know we need to hear his voice through the Word of God. And yes, he can speak through his spirit, but will always concur with the Word of God. In my life, when I felt like I've heard that still, small voice speak to my heart, I go to the Word of God and I ask God to give me wisdom. Is what I've heard from God and making sure it's of God, the Word of God is sure. It is not wavering. It is, like you said in the beginning, Alex, it's authoritative, it is inspired, and we can depend on it. And this is what the psalmist is saying in 119 that we have. Listen to one more, and I'll throw it back to you. 130. I didn't know we were going to say in Psalm 119, but God had his way in this because I had it turned there, you had it turned there, and here it is. Psalm 119, 130. Listen to this. "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Now, I just want to tell you, Bert Harper and Brent Austin and I were talking about this early. You know, I'm a one-track guy. Now, Alex, I'm just saying this because it's true. It's amazing how many things you can have going on in your life at so much, and we understand that and know that. Well, on the other hand, there's Bert Harper. Okay, I've got one thing that I'm doing, and I need to do it. But let me tell you what. The Word of God gives understanding to those individuals that are dependent on him and everyone. And when will we learn, Alex, no matter how brilliant you may be, no matter how many degrees an individual may have, no matter what things they have on their resume, the Word of God is what gives greater wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Some of the wisest individuals I've ever met in my life, some of them didn't graduate from high school, but they had great wisdom because they had spent time in the Word of God, reading it, meditating on it, and obeying it, keeping those statutes. Alex, listen, that's still what we need today, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And again, folks, Psalm 119 has so much rich content. Verse 165, great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble.
Amen.
But one last thing, I know we got a break. All right, look at 110 and 126. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Now here's a prayer that might resonate with you in 2024. Verse 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Maybe you've looked around the world, you said, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you to intervene. We need you to send a revival. And God, there are enemies of truth. Father, we need you to, as we often pray, rule and overrule. Bert, do you get that desperation in 126? There are people that reject God.
They are.
There are people that reject God's word. I love this. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. And the psalmist has a little bit of desperation there, and I think we would pray that as well. Lord, from where I see it, we need you. Please intervene in our culture.
And following that, Alex, because of that, he writes in 127 and 128, as we close this segment, therefore, what's it there for? Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, more than fine gold. Verse 28, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. The Word of God will direct our paths. Let me give you that number if you have a Bible question today. It is 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We'd like to talk with you today.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Michael, a 5-year-old boy, showed up at the courthouse in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for an adoption hearing with his foster parents, and he had a crowd of unusual supporters. Michael's entire kindergarten class sat in the audience behind him, waving big red hearts mounted on wooden sticks to show their support. The kindergartners offered the most touching answers, standing up and telling the court, "I love Michael," or "Michael's my best friend." Michael's new father and mother had been married nearly 10 years, and he'd been living with them as a foster child for more than a year. Adoption truly is at the heart of the gospel.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at afr.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert. So glad you're listening. Here is the number, 888-589-8840. If you call with a Bible question, you'll get in the queue because we have some lines open. So 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. Also, Facebook. We've just in recent months, largely thanks to Brent Austin, we've just had a lot of growth in our Facebook ministry. And so Brent posts stuff there. We're also going to have a bunch of photos I'm going to send him of our camp and what God is doing in the lives of teenagers. So if you would, I need a favor. If you would like the Facebook page, just go to Facebook, Exploring the Word. And if you would, we're trying to get to 10,000 likes this summer, and I'm sure we will. But like the Facebook page if you would. But right now, we'll go to Bible questions. Again, call us, 888-589-8840.
And we do have lines open. Matter of fact, the only person online right now is Rebecca. Rebecca, we thank you for calling, or we wouldn't have a question. Thank you, Rebecca.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you for taking my question. Mine is with regard to after Jesus died on the cross, I believe it says somewhere in the Bible that he descended into hell and preached. Is that correct? And if so, why would he do that?
Okay, let me just share one or two things, and I love to turn it over to Alex. I try to make some quick comments. One, we know this, Rebecca. He told the thief on the cross, "Today, this very day, you will be with me in paradise." Now, that's what we know he said. And then, Alex, all that other follows about what he did during this period of time. But some of the words that where he went and what he did needs a little clarification in the English language, doesn't it?
It does. And by the way, this is a great question because even, you know, when Jesus died on the cross in John 19:30, when he said, "It is finished," and he yielded up his spirit, from his death on the cross, which I believe was 3 p.m. Friday afternoon, and then for till resurrection morning, there was a lot going on. And let me just throw this out there. I want to say what Jesus didn't do. Jesus did not burn in hell to get our sins paid for. Now, he did, the Bible says he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he led captivity captive. And but let me explain. The payment for our sin guilt, the atonement, was on the cross. He was like the Passover lamb being sacrificed, and his blood was shed. Remember, it was the blood of the lamb that was a covering of sin. And John the Baptist in John chapter 1 says, "Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Also, on the cross, the appropriate measure of God's wrath that we deserved. I love it how the old reformers would say God's just displeasure was poured on Jesus. So he paid our sin debt on the cross. But what he did in the realm of the dead, for one thing, he preached to the spirits in prison, and he led captivity captive. Now, Bert, in a part of the grave called Abraham's bosom, or paradise, that was kind of the holding pen for the believing saints of old. And Jesus goes into the realm of the dead, and he takes those the saints of old, whether it be Moses, Abraham, King David, they were taken to heaven proper. And that's why commentators of old would say Jesus spoiled the grave. In other words, he took the souls of the believing saints to heaven. But to the unbelievers, you know, I think about anybody from Absalom to Haman to, you know, the Pharaoh, the unsaved dead of old, it was a proclamation of condemnation that Christ was he was going to rise, the debt was paid. So let me just say this. What that empty tomb signifies is absolute assurance and salvation for the believer, an absolute warning and a condemnation for all those who reject God and salvation. And of course, he physically, literally rose on that first Easter morning. But our atonement, our salvation, there's a lot involved. And Bert, maybe that's why the New Testament calls it, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?
Amen. It is that great and a great price. The only one who could take that and make it real was Jesus Christ. Rebecca, we hope that helps. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Janet. Thank you for calling today.
Hi. I've read through the Bible 3 or 4 times, and I get something new out of it every time, but I'm looking for a different way to do that instead of starting with Genesis and ending up in Revelation.
Okay. Well, let me just share with you, and I've done this. It's been a long time since I've done it. There's 11 books in the Old Testament that give you the chronological time frame. Now, again, a lot of these other books are commentaries or prophecies or psalms on those times. And I'm going to ask Brent. We'll post it on our Facebook page. And listen to this, and if you have time, you can jot it down, Janet, and you can read through it this way, and you'll get the history of it. Now, this does not tell you when this prophet spoke or this prophet. That'd be chronologically. But if you read Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers, those are the first ones. Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers, and then go to Joshua, okay? And then after Joshua comes the Judges. And then right after that, you have 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then Ezra and Nehemiah. Those 11 books will take you through the Old Testament chronologically. Now, if you were going to read in the New Testament chronologically, now these are a little different, but if I were doing it, I would start with Luke and then go straight to the book of Acts, because Luke tells the story. And then, now there may be one or two here, I would conclude in 2 Timothy and then Revelation. Now, Alex, if you do that, again, those other books are, and I'm using this word loosely, commentaries or prophecies concerning that time frame, except the three other parts of the gospel. They cover the same time frame, but in different authors. Alex, mm-hmm. What would you add to that?
Oh, the great question. I'm thrilled you're asking this. And Angie and I have done that. We've read through the Bible in a year, and we've often said this, and it's really true. If you read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you'll read through the Bible in a year very easily. But I want to recommend a website. And by the way, websites that are outside of AFA, I'm only recommending, I can't vouch for everything they may or may not have, but there's one that I feel like is pretty trustworthy called BibleGateway.com. Bert, have you ever been on that website?
Yes, I have. It's great. It is. I like it. I'll put it that way, Alex. Yes.
There are, and this, it's free. It's a website and an app, BibleGateway.com. There's some plans to read through the Bible. Now, you can read straight through the Bible. And what they've got it, you know, divided up evenly. So you got every day of the year, you got a portion, you know, take about 10 or 15 minutes, and you could read the Bible beginning to end in a year. But they have also got, like you said, a chronological, read the Bible in the order of the events, like historically, you know, the events, like Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible. And then they've got a layout where you can read it in the order that the books were written. They've got one, and they've got it, you know, divvied up where you can read the entire Bible in 90 days, you know. So I don't mind at all recommending BibleGateway.com and some of their reading plans. I think they're very helpful.
I would agree. Let me just share this with you. I want to give you a hint. It is important to read it through. But if you're reading and God stops you at a verse, a phrase, a word, stay there for a little bit. Let Him speak to you. Meditate upon His word. And this is really blessed me because you'll hear me do this as I'm teaching here on Exploring the Word. And I say, look at those repeated words. Look at that phrase. Look at that. And it just makes it come alive. If I was just reading over it just to say, oh, I've read through the Bible, you're missing. So meditate on what you've read.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it won't happen that way. You'll read a chapter and say, or three chapters, that was all good. You put it together. But sometimes God will stop you, and He will help you to be strengthened in the power of His word. Janet, thank you for that good call. I mean it. That was great. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Matthew. Matthew, thank you for calling today.
Oh, man, good to be on the phone with you guys. I love y'all so much. You guys have become a part of my daily Bible study. So I literally take notes off of your commentary.
Bless
you. But my question is, prior to 1948, where were guys like J. Vernon McGee and Billy Graham? Where were they at? Did their biblical worldview of prophecy change? If we're looking at Israel as the barometer, was there a shift in 1948, like maybe some popped eyebrows going, wow, we didn't expect this. What do we change our views?
Okay, there were some views changed, but I just want to say this. In 1948, when it happened, it became, oh, it is clear. This is not spiritual. This is not something that, you know, is allegorical. It is real. You know what I mean, Alex?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? There have always been people that believe what the Bible said about the end times. And, you know, I think about the people prior to the rebirth of the nation of Israel who were, you know, resolute and faithfully affirming. Because, you know, there were atheists like the French atheist Voltaire who used to mock Daniel and Revelation, because he said, oh, Israel hasn't existed since, you know, March of 70 AD. But, Bert, I've got to believe, like, when Israel was rebirthed as a nation, May 14, 1948, you know, a lot of people around the world said, okay, wow. And, I mean, look at us now, folks. In fact, I just earlier today was reading how they want to have a cashless world. Everything be crypto, and everybody merely have a debit card, and the way the world is wired up. They say in China, even no matter where you go in China, you are on camera. It's like a global surveillance state. So, Bert, we've said it many times, but it's time to have our house in order. We don't know when Christ is coming back, but we know one day He is coming back. And the way the world is shaping up these days, I've got to believe that people everywhere are saying, wait a minute. Yeah. God's word was true all along.
Amen. Signs of the times, they're everywhere. And I believe it with all my heart. Get ready. We're not looking, you know, we're looking for the uppertaker more than we are the undertaker these days. Jesus will and is returning. Let's go to Elaine in Indiana. Elaine, thank you for calling.
Hi, Bert. Hi, Alex.
Hello there.
I listen to you on my ride home in the evening. I have a question concerning Calvinism. Recently, our pastor, who is very well-liked and respected and is absolutely a Bible pastor, had said that he's a Calvinist. And there's been quite a furor in the church because right away people question the fact that God chose people that were going to go to heaven and are going to go to hell in the very beginning of time. What about John 3, verses 16, 17?
Okay, Elaine. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to take it from there because time will run out. Let me just say this. Alex, you and I both have very dear friends that we would call Calvinist or Reform theology. I do. I have so many. And we have fellowship one with another. Let me just say this, and Alex, I'm going to say, I know those that are Reform and Calvinist, but they do not let that in any way affect their evangelism and their mission era. I would say this, when you think of someone that we've quoted right now, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he qualified in the area of Reform, you know, partial form or theology. But, brother, when you read his sermons, there is evangelistic, and when you read the ministries that they had, it was trying to reach everyone, wasn't it?
Yeah. And let me say, and we could do an entire show on this, and we probably
we might
really
need. I'm
going
to write this down, Alex, so we will. Yeah. We've got some time to do it.
Let me say, because 20 years ago, or 25 years ago, I suppose, in Baptist circles, the question about Calvinism came up. And so I decided to get John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion and read it. And I got Calvin's Institutes. And let me say, much to my surprise, Bert, right in there, John Calvin uses the word free will. He says that people have free will and must choose Christ.
Amen.
And 25 years ago, one of my theological mentors, and he was just brilliant, Norm Geisler, he said, as Calvinism is today, John Calvin wouldn't be a Calvinist. Now, I don't want to disparage anyone who is, so could we just put a pin in it? A Bible-believing pastor, Calvinist or not Calvinist, I'd be careful before I burn any bridges just yet.
Amen.
And I say that, and I'm not a Calvinist.
Yeah, me and you as well. And I'm not an Arminian. Listen, I'm not trying to be anything. I want to go by the Word of God. And the Word of God said, whosoever will may come.
Amen.
And it says, before the foundations of the earth, he foreknew, whom he foreknew, he predestined. Listen, I don't know every answer, but I know God, and he is right. Let's get back to it tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.